We're going to look at Psalm 1 this morning, which is a good psalm for us to look at this first day of a new year, this first Lord's Day of a new year. Gives us an opportunity to reflect, to look back, and to look forward. And as we look to a new year, we might have excitement and hope for a happy new year. But we may also have concerns and fears and doubts about life's trials, life's difficulties, life's pressures. We might wonder, is 2023 really going to be a happy new year? Well, notice how Psalm 1 begins. Blessed is the man. The word blessed there, what does it mean? Well, it could be translated happy. You want a happy new year? Well, the blessing that Psalm 1 describes is blessing, happiness in the fullest sense of that word. Happiness in moral and mental and physical and spiritual well-being. So for us to be assured of a happy new year, we need to hear God's word, be committed to God's word, because in God's word we learn how to be able to look forward to a new year and handle its successes and its failures, its joys and its sorrows, knowing God's blessing. Can I also suggest to you that it's a good idea to start a Bible reading plan if you don't already have one. There are details of many different Bible reading schemes available on our church website. If you go to the church website, www.kensit.org.uk, and go to resources, you can find all sorts of ideas for church Bible reading schemes. And I'd encourage you to read the Bible in that systematic, ongoing way, if you're able to do so, either using the website, or if you can't access that at the end of the service, have a word with me and I'll point you in the right direction to Bible reading schemes. But it's a great thing to be able to read the Bible, for us to come together Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, to hear the word of God, but also to read it in our own homes. We thank God for the blessing of God's word in our own language. If we think of the observation of Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was in a prison camp, he records what happened in his book, A Day in the Life of Ivan Denisovich. The great writer Solzhenitsyn remembers he was sharing a freezing dormitory with a Baptist pastor. And the pastor had hidden away a little New Testament. And the preacher took it out from its hiding place as dawn broke every day, and he would read aloud a portion of the Word of God, the Bible. And he read it aloud day after day. And the men around him would hear all those words from the Bible. No one objected. It kept the pastor in touch with his calling, which is why he was suffering. He was in prison because of his calling as a preacher of the Word of God. Gave him that anchor in that horrible regime of a prison camp. That was his discipline, that was also his delight, and there was no tension between those two attitudes. A Christian reads the Bible in obedience, but a Christian also reads the Bible in delight. You discover the wonderful grace of God, and you discover yourself in the Word of God as the Lord Jesus Christ is revealed to you through the scriptures. So delight in the word of God in 2023. Meditate on the word of God. Live by the word of God, even when it makes you uncomfortable, as sometimes it certainly will. And when you know that discomfort that comes when the word of God convicts you, then run in faith to Jesus Christ, the Savior, who cleanses and forgives and gives new life. Live by the word of God, and you will be like the psalmist, that blessed man, that blessed woman. But what I want to do this morning particularly is look at aspects of the word of God then, as it's described for us in Psalm 1. And the first is the word of God rejected. The word of God reject rejected. The blessed man is contrasted by certain things that he doesn't do. And you'll notice in Psalm 1 there are 3 points of how the blessed man is contrasted with the ungodly. The blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man does not stand in the path of sinners. The blessed man does not sit in the seat of the scornful. So what does the psalmist mean by that? The blessed person doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, we are living in a society where there are many people who reject completely the word of God. There are people we should not seek counsel from. So we see here the danger of just following along with what the ungodly on the social media have to offer and say. The counsel of our ungodly society. Think, for example, of the Guardian columnist Polly Toynbee. She's one of the leading journalists in the UK. What's her counsel to you this morning? She says, of all the elements of Christianity, the most repugnant, the most horrible, most awful, she's saying, this is the most awful thing you could think of and believe, is the notion of the Christ who took our sins upon himself and sacrificed his body in agony to save our souls. That, she says, is a repugnant thing, a horrible thing, a terrible thing. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, sometimes we seek counsel and go from person to person trying to find someone who will give us the answer we want. And if we do that with an ungodly society, we will do so and find that our society pushes rejection of the word of God. Choose your counselors carefully. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners. Finding the wrong counsel will lead to hanging out with the wrong people. That's a reality in life. We see it around us. When we receive and accept bad counsel, it will lead to hanging out with ungodly people. And the blessed person then, there's a downward spiral, walk, stand, sit, doesn't sit in the seat of the scornful. That's why we meet together on the Lord's Day, isn't it? On a Sunday morning, a Sunday evening. That's why I'm encouraging you to spend time personally in the Word of God each day. The blessed man, the blessed woman, is someone who doesn't get lured into the ways of thinking, the ways of behaving, the ways of belonging of this world, this ungodly world. This world's way of thinking, the counsel of the ungodly. This world's way of behaving, standing in the path of sinners. This world's way of belonging, sitting in the seat of the scornful. When those warnings are ignored, there is a downward progression, which is heartbreaking. When a person is contemplating sinning, that person tries to find someone who will encourage the sin. Then that person becomes accustomed to sin, surrounds him or herself with people who encourage that behavior, a support group who say, it's okay, it's fine, don't worry, forget God, it's okay, everyone's doing it. And finally, that sin becomes so pervasive that it becomes entrenched in sinful behaviors and even encourages others to sin. So let me pause for a moment and say, if you're struggling with specific sin and you feel that downward spiral, that pull, well, as you heed what the Word of God tells you this morning, whatever that sin is, maybe it's pornography or premarital sex, the pull of substance abuse or illegal drugs, or maybe you're mismanaging your finances, you're struggling with lying or gossiping, it could be 1,000 things. First, let me assure you, the Bible is very clear. Sin is not your friend. It's not actually trying to bring you the happiness it promises to give you. And furthermore, you do not have control over sin. Sin has control over you. I know there are times we think we can take our pet sins out of the cupboard and play with them for a while and then put them back again and no damage has been caused. But that's not the way sin works. Sin damages. Sin exists for one purpose only. It's bent on destroying you. So there are no benefits in sin. The person who holds on to his or her sin is the person who will not stand on the day of judgment. So the Bible has a totally different definition of blessing from that of the world. What this psalm does, and why it's such a helpful psalm, is that it redefines our categories. It helps us to think straight this morning. The state of blessing the psalmist describes here is not always in a place of ease and comfort when everything's going well. Sometimes it's in the midst of hardship and heartache and trouble and difficulty. Isn't that what the Apostle Paul tells us in Romans chapter 8, that the blessing of union with Jesus Christ is mixed with the sufferings of this present evil world? And the psalmist is facing something like that. The ridicule and resistance of the wicked. His friends, his neighbors, perhaps his family, scorning him as he strives to trust in and follow the Lord. Friends and neighbors who think that he's unstable or even dangerous for loving the word of God. It all sounds very familiar, doesn't it? So the Bible is an honest book. It tells us pain, hardship, sometimes even tragedy occur in the life of a believer. But the believer's source of blessedness is not from circumstances. For the believer, there is this strange mix that in the midst of hardship and heartache and difficulty, there can still be a holy blessedness. And that's the blessed man or woman that we learn about here. Well, it's something for us to pray about. It's something for you to pray for yourself. It's something you can pray about for others. That we would be people who would have a holy blessedness, a happiness, satisfaction in God, in times of joy and in times of sorrow. Not a people whose satisfaction is fickle, just determined by favorable circumstances. If you're a Christian this morning, would you pray that God would make you like that, a fruitful person? Someone, when people meet you, they go away spiritually refreshed. That God would make your mouth a fountain of life. That your words would be healing, convicting and encouraging and deepening and enlightening. Delighting in the law of the Lord, the word of God. So the psalmist says, our joy is not to be built on outward circumstances. The source of joy is to be found in God and in our Saviour, Jesus Christ. The God and Saviour who is steadfast and faithful and reliable. So the blessed man is contrasted with those who reject the word of God. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. So the word of God rejected. The second thing this morning, the word of God received. What does it look like when we receive the word of God? For those of you who know my wife Wendy, you know she likes the outdoors. She likes to walk. She loves to walk along the Dolis Valley Green Walk. That's the path that runs alongside the stream, which is at the park at the bottom of the street here. In the drought last summer of last year. Wow, that sounds strange, doesn't it? Last year's drought. What we noticed about the trees was that the trees that grew alongside the stream, the little river, their leaves were greener than the leaves on the trees that were growing further away from any source of water. The trees near the river were healthier, they were stronger. The reason I want you to make 2023 a year when you start and dedicate yourself to reading the Bible, studying the Bible, hearing the Bible, is that when you're meditating on the Word of God, when you're planted in the Word of God like a tree that's planted by a stream of water, you get Jesus. You get Jesus as he draws near to you by his Word and by the Holy Spirit. You get the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to live the life we cannot live and who died the death that we dare not die. We find the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God, the Saviour who rose from the dead so that we can have eternal life. We find in the Bible the story of God redeeming his people, saving his people in his Son, Jesus Christ, which is the good news we need to hear. Sometimes people come to me and they say something like this: why are you always preaching about Jesus? Why are you always preaching about the gospel? We know about Jesus already. We know about the gospel already. Well, the reason I always preach about Jesus is that the Bible is full of Jesus Christ. So the day I stand up and preach a sermon on four ways to a better life, and I don't preach the gospel, is the day you need a new preacher. We are people who really need, desperately need to hear the message of the gospel. We're in battle with an enemy who will never quit tempting us. The devil will come and tickle our ears with things that we want to hear. Tries to convince us to do things we shouldn't do. Tells us everything will be fine even if we go ahead and do them. And then once we've sinned, the devil circles round, exposes our guilt, and tells us we're worthless and that God has abandoned us. Sin leaves us alienated from God. Sin leaves us in a place of guilt and shame. But in the Word of God, we find the Lord Jesus Christ, who's come to restore our relationship to God. The Saviour has come to remove our guilt and shame. The Saviour has come to fix us when we are broken. The one who comes to heal us when we are hurting. The Saviour comes to bring us from death to life. So God gives us in his Word, time and time again, as we come to his Word, we find it reveals to us the Lord Jesus Christ. On every page of the Bible, every page of the Bible, either explicitly or implicitly, God whispering to you that he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to save you. That Jesus is the one who came into this world to save his people, not in their sins, but from their sins. So don't treat your Bible like many of us treat our owner's manual that comes with the car. Most of us, when we get a new car, we put the owner's manual in the glove box or in some cupboard somewhere, and we forget about it. A couple of years ago, we bought a new car, and the salesman who sold us our new car said, "This car is a great car because it will park itself. You pull up alongside the place where you want to park, and then you push," and then he showed us different buttons, "you push different buttons on the car, and it will park itself." We put the owner's manual in the glove box. How many times have we used the automatic park for the car? Answer, none. Because we don't use the manual. Perhaps I should make it a New Year's resolution, shouldn't I? Use the manual. Get the book out. It'll tell us, apparently, whether there's space to park the car, and then you take your hands off the steering wheel and it'll just do it for you. We'll see. But I'm saying, don't treat the Bible like the car owner's manual that's in the glove box, but it's never read. Because there's good news for us in every page of the Bible. And we find in the Lord Jesus Christ, then, the one who comes to us via the Word of God and by the Spirit of God to feed us with life-giving water for this year ahead. The Word of God received. The Word of God rejected. The Word of God received. Thirdly, the Word of God needed. If verses 2 and 3 in Psalm 1 are good news for God's people, then verses 4 and 5 bad news for those who do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Robert Frost has written a poem, The Road Not Taken. Some of you may know his poem. Two roads diverged in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. Well, there are two ways in this psalm. The way of the righteous and the way of the ungodly. And you're going to have to take one of those two ways, says the psalmist. It's the ultimate question we all face. And there are significantly different outcomes, depending on which way you take. One is a way which leads to eternal joy and peace. The other leads to condemnation and judgment. Forever judgment and forever condemnation from a righteous God. So there's a sense of urgency about this psalm. Eternity is at stake, the psalmist is saying. Heaven and hell. We look around our world this morning, our society, and we see a great deal of evil and dishonesty and sleaze and cheating and cruelty, tyranny. And for some, there may be material prosperity in this world, even for the wicked. And then it's easy for us to get tunnel vision, and we find ourselves getting cynical, and we lose an eternal perspective. But God's word this morning then brings in this corrective. Because the psalmist tells us, in the end, the wicked will be swept away like chaff. Chaff is the dry, worthless outer husks of the corn. That dry, worthless husk that's just swept away when the corn is winnowed or threshed. The chaff is driven away by the wind. But those who have delighted in the word of God will be stand in the judgment, pardoned, accepted, welcomed into glory through faith in Jesus Christ. There is a book called The Gospel According to the Beatles. Most of you have heard of the Beatles. If you haven't, the Beatles were an English rock group founded in Liverpool in 1960. And they achieved worldwide fame. And the book is an account of their rejection of God and their failure to find anything else that could fill the vacuum at the heart of their lives. Two of them had been raised as Roman Catholics, two had been raised as Anglicans. All of them had money and everything that money could buy. And they wanted some kind of blessing because they had souls and they were made in the image of God. So they first looked for it in the red light district of Hamburg, and they gave themselves to immorality. They didn't find it in that gutter. So they quickly moved on to smoking cannabis to try and get in touch with the spiritual world. It wasn't there. They discovered the drug LSD. They didn't find blessing there. Fame was not a blessing. When they were shocked at the death of their manager, Brian Epstein, from a drug overdose, they looked for blessing in transcendental meditation, in Hare Krishna. They started an organization called Apple. Apple had the logo of an unbitten apple. It was their statement. They said they were going to return to the Garden of Eden. So they set up Apple. Their enterprise was going to be free of greed, free of corruption, free of cynicism, because the Beatles believed in the implicit goodness of every human being. So no Apple manager would check the honesty of any employee. No one would force the staff to start work at a certain time in the morning or leave at a certain time in the evening. And what happened? Apple was a disaster. The Apple boutique closed in 6 months because the staff stole all the stock. Apple Electronics didn't produce a single invention. The Beatles, in the end, couldn't stand working together, so they split up. the four most famous men in the world, in a way, who had rejected God and looked for blessing everywhere else. All their marriages broke up. George Harrison died of lung cancer from his addiction to nicotine. Ringo Starr was drunk for many years. John Lennon, who wrote the song Imagine, was murdered by a fan. Paul McCartney went through a horrendous divorce. They rejected God. But where were they going to find blessing? It's not hidden away in some remote corner of a mountain in India. It's not found in drugs or chemicals or alcohol or singing love songs. Blessing is only to be found in knowing Jesus Christ as God and Savior, the psalmist is saying. It is in Jesus Christ we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. The word of God is needed. Blessing is only found in a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Which leads us then to the last part of this psalm, the word of God trusted. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Where can you find blessing this morning? Well, again, the psalmist leaves us in no doubt that the way of the ungodly is an awful way to go. But the Lord knows the way of the righteous. The Lord has known his people from all eternity. He sent his only begotten Son into this world to die for our sins, even while we were his enemies. God's love for us so strong that it is a never-ending, never-failing love. You see, Psalm 1 teaches us what a righteous life looks like. What it does, it forces us to look outside of ourselves. As we read about this blessed man, who's the only man who's ever lived, who never walked in the counsel of the ungodly? Who's the only man who ever lived, who never stood in the path of sinners? Who was the only man who ever lived who never sat in the seat of the scornful? Who was the only man who ever lived who always delighted in the law of the Lord? There's only one man fits that description. It's not me and it's not you. One man who lived in total righteousness. And his name is Jesus. Jesus who becomes to us when we trust in him wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Someone is telling us the Lord Jesus Christ is the blessed man. Do you see it? The blessed man. This psalm perfectly describes only one person, the Savior, Jesus Christ. The law of God summarized for us in the Ten Commandments. Not nine commandments, but 10. The law of God did not terrify Jesus Christ because he had no sin for the law to condemn. The law did not awaken his sinfulness, for Jesus Christ had no sinfulness for the law to awaken. He had clean hands and a pure heart. The Lord Jesus Christ meditated in the law of God day and night. Because he knew that it spoke of him. The book of Hebrews tells us the psalmist speaks of Christ. Psalm 40 verses 7 and 8. Then I said, behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law is within my heart. That describes Jesus Christ, who had no sin of his own, but voluntarily suffered for our sins on the cross. On the cross, Jesus became like the chaff that the wind drives away. On the cross, he underwent the judgment and the wrath of God in that thick darkness. When he died, the just for the unjust, to bring us to God. He died like an ungodly man, as a sin bearer. Because he died as the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. So this psalm points us to Jesus Christ, the incarnate God, who died the cursed death and was buried, but rose from the dead. And the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ, who was like the chaff that the wind drives away, is now alive forever, the eternal fruitful tree set down in glory next to the river of life. And he gives the fruit of his righteous life for the healing of the nations and for your healing and for mine this morning. The gospel of Jesus Christ comes to us as it's preached here in London and all over the world. Everything that the mighty Saviour Jesus Christ did has prospered and will prosper forever till all the ransomed church of God is saved to sin no more. Truly and triumphantly, surely this psalm speaks to us this morning of Jesus Christ. So no longer does the psalm then convict those who trust in Jesus Christ of their sin and failure. Yes, we are convicted, but we run in faith to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ died on the cross, our judgment day has already come. In the Lord Jesus Christ, our sinful ways have perished. Our sins have been washed away. That's why we are blessed men and women. It's as we are joined to Jesus Christ as Saviour. And for his sake, the Lord watches over us as those who are accounted righteous in Jesus Christ. So I'm saying, be blessed this morning. Be blessed. Be blessed by personal faith in Jesus Christ. Entrust yourself to Jesus Christ and you will have a righteousness that is put to your account by faith. So as this psalm convicts us of our failure and forces us to run to God for mercy, it is Jesus Christ who is our righteousness. We don't measure up to the righteous demands of someone. The righteousness that God requires must be imputed to us. It must be put to our account. It must be credited to us by faith in Jesus Christ. So I'm saying this morning, is Jesus Christ your righteousness? Do you believe that Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin for you, so that by faith in him you might have a righteousness from God? In Psalm 1, then, Jesus Christ is set before our eyes, and we are moved to cling to him by faith. So you want to be blessed. You want to be counted righteous. You want to know God's blessing this morning and for this year ahead. The righteousness that God requires is a righteousness that can only be yours by faith in Jesus Christ. So look to him this morning. Trust in him. Run to him in faith. Say, Jesus, my righteousness before God. And then live for him to know God's blessing for 2023. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to you this morning. We praise you for that ultimate, true, blessed man, the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin. Never walked in the counsel of the ungodly. Never sat in the seat of the scornful. The Lord Jesus Christ, the sinless Lamb of God, and yet, as the Lamb of God, he died for our sins to take away the sin of the world. And for us living that perfect life of righteousness, Jesus Christ grants righteousness to all who trust in him, a righteousness that is put to our account by faith. Oh Lord, we praise you then for such a Saviour. May we know his blessing this morning and today and for this year ahead. The blessing that comes from faith in a Saviour who loved us, gave himself for us, rose from the dead, ascended up into heaven, ever lives to intercede for his people, and will one day come again in glory. Oh, in Christ alone, our hope is found. And we praise you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we're going to sing as a closing hymn, that hymn that tells us, in Christ alone, my hope is found. There it is. He is my light, my strength, my song. And we'll stand to sing this together as our closing hymn.
Yeah.
Pray together. And now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of you and with all God's people, and not only today, but even for evermore. Amen. Amen.